How many is ready to move forward? Yes. I'm glad two of y'all are. That's awesome. The rest of y'all, we'll be praying for y'all. Want y'all to move forward too as well. It's going to be awesome when you decide to. It's going to be crazy. Y'all wake up this morning. Come on, 9 o'clock. Wake up. Come on, God's been good to you. I'm going to try to preach this message, but I'm about ready to run through this place. I'm so excited about the kingdom of God this morning. And to be honest with you, y'all know I'm going to be honest with you, but to be honest with you, I got up this morning and I really felt bad. I got up early this morning, just like, I felt really bad. And I told my wife, like, I'm fighting off a little bug or something. And I was in just praying and preparing and just kind of get my mind wrapped around today. And the more I worshiped, the better I got the feeling. And I when I walked in this place a while ago, I was a little late coming in, but I just felt the glory of God in this house. And someone said this weekend, said, we take for granted so many times what God has blessed us with. The glory of God. And what we sense and what we feel in this place should never be taken for granted. We should always go after it. What would happen if you came in here every Sunday and you just went after the glory of God? You went after the purpose of God. You went after the kingdom of God. What happens if you, then that would become the residue in your life that you would wake up on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning doing the very same thing. And we are carriers of the purpose of the kingdom of God. How many believe you're a carrier? Amen. We are infecting the world around us with his kingdom. That's what we should be doing anyway. So today I'm going to try to pick up where we left off last Sunday. We were talking about a kingdom culture and how we live in a kingdom culture. And so for those that wasn't here, I'm just going to give you just a little brief. But a kingdom culture is simply living in a heavenly realm. That's what it is. It's living in the heavenly realm. I already talked about that a little bit today in our offering. Everything we do should come from a heavenly purpose. Everything we should do. Everything in our life should come out of the overflow or the purpose of or the kingdom of heaven. And that's as a born-again Christian, that's how we should live. We shouldn't live in this place of up and down, in and out, mountaintop today, valley tomorrow. Listen, that is not God's plan. Listen, I grew up in church revival. And you have revival this month, and then you're trying to save everybody next month. You'd have the highs, and then you'd have the lows. That is not God's plan. When I was born into my mother and daddy's life, they named me Marvin Lynn Poole. I will be a pool until the day I die. I will always carry their name. I will always carry the kingdom or the seal or the inheritance of my father. And there are things that we inherit. Oh, man, I didn't put this down, Dave. This is good. There are things that we inherit from our family. How many is there? Well, let's talk about something funny. Let's y'all can laugh a little bit. How many are the things that you said about your parent? I'll never be like that, but you are. Huh? But you are. And some of those things we wish we wasn't, but we are. But nevertheless, there's this DNA and there's this inheritance that comes inside of us that's not, we're not talking about money, we're not talking about what they leave, but we're talking about the DNA of who they are. Come on, somebody say yes. All right, y'all going to preach with me today, or I'm going to preach a real long time. All right, so when we understand that, then we can understand what kingdom of heaven looks like. Because when we are born again, we are heavenly. We take on the DNA of our heavenly Father. We take on the purpose of the kingdom. Come on, somebody. So therefore, we shouldn't live in this roller coaster of striving and falling down and getting up and going through and all of this stuff. Because we are going to make mistakes in our life, but it doesn't change our name. It doesn't disown us because we made a mistake in life. Come on, somebody. Listen, my daddy loved me when I was a knucklehead. How many has parents that loved you when you really thought they shouldn't? Come on. I don't understand why you still love me. And the same way in the kingdom of God, our daddy loves us even when we don't do it all just right. And therefore, well, we can understand that when I fall or I make a mistake, that I don't live in that place because it's just a momentary mistake and I'm back up doing what I'm called to do. I am in the kingdom. I don't lead the kingdom, but I'm in the kingdom always. Amen. So a kingdom culture is simply having a living in a heavenly realm. And when we as the body of Christ, we are bringing heaven to earth. We're not trying to find a way of escape. And I said this last week, and I want to say it again, is that like I remember, and I'm not that old. I'm not old like some of y'all. But I remember when all the songs we used to sing were trying to get us out of this earth. Won't it be wonderful there? Because I'm totally miserable here. Because we didn't understand heaven. And we thought that living in a heavenly kingdom was escaping the earth. But really, it's pulling heaven to earth. Yeah, right. And we're bringing heaven to earth. Am I excited about going to heaven one day? I am. I was with my parents this week, and my aunt was there. And they were all just, you know, my mom, she was like, son, you got to slow down. You got to slow down. And my aunt joined in with her. And they beat me up a little bit and spoke death over me. It was awesome. You're going to die. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to have a stroke. I'm like, no, I ain't. Don't be speaking that over me. I rebuke that right now. I cast those words off. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to have. I said, y'all are jealous because I'm going to die running wide open and you're sitting around waiting to breathe your last breath. You're jealous. Don't be jealous. I'm being a little funny here. But the honest truth is God called us to live in a heavenly realm until we live in a heavenly realm. Because when we became a son or a daughter of God, we entered into eternity then, not over there. So I'm already living in eternity. I may change destinations or places somewhere along the way, but I'm already living in eternity now. I'm in a heavenly place now, so I ought to live like I'm in a heavenly place. Can I get a better witness? Amen. Amen. So Christ came to give us life, and he came to give it to us abundantly. How many times have you heard that preaching like, whatever? Because right now what I'm going through, I don't know if I believe that. But the deal is, that has not changed. He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That's now. Everybody say now. The abundant life is not when we die and go to heaven, but it's a now thing, and we're bringing heaven to earth. Let's look at Luke 17, reading from the Passion Translation. And Jesus was once asked by the Jewish religious leaders, when will the kingdom of heaven come? And Jesus responded, the kingdom realm of God does not come simply by obeying principles, by waiting for signs. The kingdom is not discovered in other place or another, for the kingdom realm of God is already expanded within some of you. The kingdom realm is already expanded or happening now in some of you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're living in the kingdom realm. I'm just going to declare over your life that you can be. And that you don't have to wait for another second to declare over your life as a born-again believer that I am going to live in a heavenly state of mind. Come on, somebody. So I say to sickness when sickness comes into my life, how many has ever been sick in here? Maybe I should ask this. Who's never been sick? So when I'm walking through sickness, does that mean that I'm not heavenly anymore? No. I'm declaring over my body that it is well. And then I say to my sickness, sickness, you have to go because heaven declares that I am well. When I'm walking through times of discouragement or times of desperation or times when I don't understand. Hey, listen, if you've never walked through a time when you don't understand, I don't understand you. Because we've all had times when we didn't understand. You know what? Usually our misunderstanding is a transition between glory and glory. And we're sending and God's bringing something greatness into our life. But we're so caught up on the mountain of glory here that we're afraid to leave this because we're afraid of what's going to be in between. Woo, that's a good word right there. Instead of understanding that he's taken me from glory to glory. So in this not knowing, In this not understanding, I'm moving to a greater revelation of the goodness of God. So now when I move out of this place of this glory and I'm going through this season of not understanding, I'm already determined in my life it is well and it's going to be good on the other side, because I am not going from glory to pit to glory. I'm going from glory to glory. From purpose to purpose. From great, I'm going to use some bad English, from great to greater to greatest. Is that good? That's good and gooder. That's best and better. Come on, somebody. The simplest way to say it is the kingdom of Christ is in me. I want you to put your hand on your heart right now and say, the kingdom of Christ is in me. And I declare goodness in my life. I declare abundance in my life. Amen. So when we make Christ the very center of our life, and everything that we say and everything that we do is centered around His will and the purpose for our life and the reason we live, and the whole reason we get out of bed in the morning is so that we can advance the kingdom realm. So as we said last week, culture is not something that we do on occasion, but it is our lifestyle. Culture is our lifestyle. It's not something we do, it's who we are. Culture's who we are when nobody's looking. Culture's who we are on Monday at work when we don't like our boss particularly. When we don't like our surroundings particularly, we are still carriers of the kingdom of God. We live in a culture of the kingdom. So what does culture look like? So what does culture look like? In Matthew 10, verse 7, and the scripture says, and as you go, preach this message, heaven's kingdom realm is accessible, close enough to touch. Oh, wow. Heaven's kingdom is accessible and close enough to touch. Sometimes our religious mindset puts God so far away and so mystical and so out of reach that we give up. But when we understand the kingdom of heaven and understand it's accessible and it's close enough to touch. That's so good. You must continually bring healing to the lepers and to those who are sick, and to make it your habit to break off demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it into others. We as the church have become more tolerant of demons and demonic activity because we're scared to death of the idea of breaking them off. And the reason that's so is because we don't understand who we are. And so we've been taught that if there's a demonic presence around, let's call the priest, the preacher, those who are intercessors, somebody super spiritual, and have them come in and they can break off these demonic powers, because we're just little peasants just walking through this land. But when we understand who we are and the kingdom of God, listen, you don't have to have people levitate, foam at the mouth, do cartwheels. That's Hollywood demonic powers. You don't have to have all of that to break off demonic spirits. First of all, let me just talk about that just a little bit. Demonic spirits are not always manifest with fangs and a tail and horns and a pitchfork. Sometimes a demonic spirit can be a spirit of rebellion, can be a spirit of witchcraft, can be a Jezebel spirit. And here's the problem. Ooh, I feel the preach on me today. We can almost put those in our pocket, become very comfortable with them. not realizing that those demonic spirits are stealing and robbing the very joy of the Lord out of our hearts, our lives, and our homes. But when I understand that I live in a heavenly realm, I change my thoughts of not tolerating, but I take dominion. I will not have that in my home. And I say to those spirits, you have to leave out of my life. Did you hear a door slam? Did anybody, like, did you? Because we have all this mystical thing about God that we don't realize. It's simply, you don't have a place here. Here's what we do. Because we don't understand that, we might even say, because somebody encourages, spirits, get out of my house. Well, we don't really believe it. And so when we open the door right back to those spirits, because we think that we have to be tolerant of those because we've connected people and spirits together. But sometimes, oh man, sometimes we got to realize we're not casting out people. We're casting out spirits that are in people. The object is not the person. It's the spirit that's controlling. How many has ever raised anybody from the dead? Here's the deal. We don't raise people from the dead because we're afraid. First of all, we'd be afraid if they did raise from the dead. Some of us like, ooh, you raised somebody from the dead. I'm out of here. But the truth of the matter is God has called us to raise people from the dead. I just read it to you. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. So we tolerate sickness. We tolerate demonic activity. We tolerate those things simply because we don't know or don't understand that we're living in a kingdom realm. Now, let me help you with this. And I'm not trying to be cynical and I'm not trying to be criticizing you. This is not to hurt anyone. But we spend thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. One of the biggest battles in America today is over health care. While the church is complaining, we ought to be demonstrating. You want to put Obamacare out of business? Start healing the sick. Raise the dead. Stop complaining about the government and what they don't do and start doing what the church is supposed to do. Well, I'm glad two of y'all amen me. That was really awesome. You want to close the hospitals up? Start doing what the church is supposed to do. Okay, I'll move on. So when we come to Christ with a surrendered heart and we're filled with his spirit, he gives us a kingdom authority to do what he says, and the things that he did, we're supposed to do also. We were created for this from the very beginning. God put Adam in the garden. He gave him dominion over the earth. We were created for this. We live under the power of the kingdom of heaven. I want you to say to yourself, I was created for this. Okay, say it again because I don't know if you really said it with conviction. Say, I was created for this.
I was created for this.
Tell the person next to you, you were created for this. This is why you're here. You didn't get here on earth just to fill space. You were created for this. So how do we do this? We can look at the life of Jesus and see how he demonstrated the kingdom on this earth. First, we read the passage of scripture said that Jesus only did what the Father said do. And this is more powerful than simply him being obedient to his Father. Although that is very powerful in itself to be obedient to God. It's more than just simply obedience to his Father. I want you to listen to this. This is going to take you somewhere. He came as an ambassador from heaven to fulfill the purpose of us having full access to the kingdom. He came as an ambassador to earth to fulfill the whole purpose of Eddie Joe Wagner walking before the presence of the Lord, being downloaded with his authority, and changing the world around him. That was his purpose. It was his purpose to take the most insignificant and make them significant. It was his purpose to take the one that was an outcast and make them a king. It was his purpose to take the sick, raise the sick from the dead, but not only just to raise them from the dead, but to reproduce that in us. Very powerful. Then he gave us the opportunity to do the same. So what does that look like? The scripture tells us that Jesus went about doing good. Everybody say doing good. Doing good. Now don't raise your hand for this one, okay? How many goes about their day doing good? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's not many people that I know that get up every morning and say, today I'm going to go about my day doing good. Most people get up, because I talk to a lot of people, and they say, oh my God, I wish I didn't have to go to work. I wish I didn't have that wife. I wish I didn't have that husband. I wish I didn't have those kids. I wish I didn't have this. I wish I didn't have that. If I had this, my life would be better. If I had a new car, if I had a new house, if I had... And they're caught up in everything that's earthly and the frustrations of earth, and they're missing out because they're caught up in an earthly realm and don't understand the heavenly realm. Now, I can't do good. Listen, I'm a knucklehead. I can't do good within myself. Paul said there's no good thing in me. But listen, because I understand the kingdom of heaven, this knucklehead gets to do the work that Jesus did. Wow. Because I understand the kingdom of heaven, I get to operate every day in a supernatural realm. I get to live in a supernatural realm. I get to hear in a supernatural realm. I get to speak in a supernatural realm. I get to live my life completely 100% walking in a supernatural places. So here's the deal. We should heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils, because it is the very culture of heaven. Feed the hungry. Take care of the orphans and the widows. His presence was attractive. Our presence ought to be attractive. If you carry the very nature of heaven, people's going to hold on to you. They're going to come after you. You know, we talk about going out. I got to go out and evangelize. You just start walking in the supernatural. You'll evangelize. Because people will be drawn to you like they were drawn to Jesus. Jesus never sent out any mailers. Hey, we're having a crusade. Hey, y'all come. We're having revival this week. He didn't have to post on Facebook or the internet. He didn't have to do announcements at church to get people to come back to church. There was no manipulation, no leverage. Why? Because he was walking in the realm of the supernatural, and people were being healed and lives were being changed, and he could not stop the multitudes from coming. Come on, 9 o'clock. Where are y'all at? Somebody ought to shout, woo, I want to be that. I want to do that. I want to live in that realm. I want to walk like that. I want to live in the place of the supernatural. We get more excited about football than we do about Jesus. We get more excited about killing a big deer than we do about Jesus. Why? Because we have made the things of earth our trophies, and we don't understand the things of heaven. And I'm not against football or deer hunting. I'm simply saying we get more excited about finding. My wife can get so thrilled. She wore a shirt the other day and took it out of the dryer. She goes, oh, I hope this didn't shrink up. It says to hang dry only. I paid $1 for this. I'm like, really? Throw it away. Who cares? She's so excited about finding a bargain. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that we get so excited about natural things, and there's eternal all around us. There's heaven all around us. And we need to live in the realm of the supernatural. Man, this is good. I'm enjoying preaching today. Are y'all having fun? So, he was attractive. His presence was attractive. And listen to this. He offended the religious people. Listen, if you're not offending the religious people, you're probably not saved. He offended the religious people. Why did he offend them? Because he loves sinners. He offended the religious people because he loves sinners. How dumb is that? But see, religious people just want to have a country club. Supernatural people want to gather, want to evangelize. They want to change the world. Religious people want you to fit into their little box, but supernatural people want to live in the culture of heaven. Come on, I'm gonna clap for that. That was good. That was awesome. So if you're not offending religious people, you might want to check on your salvation. He discipled others. Come on, somebody say, he discipled others. If the only disciple you have is you, you need to get it, live in the supernatural realm. You need to step into the supernatural realm. Well, Pastor, I'm not called to. Oh, yes, you are. We're all called to disciple people. And we'll all disciple them different ways. You don't have to disciple people by preaching to people. You disciple people by living with people. Jesus showed us an example of that. He called out the disciples. They didn't even know where they were going. Where are we going? We're going to go fish for men. All right, let's go. He began to disciple them by living with them, showing them the things of heaven. He created a culture around him that honored, it accepted, it served others, and he loved to unify and bring the family together. You know, Jesus was about family. He loved family. He created a family in his discipleship model. It was a family. They did life together. They didn't just show up on Sunday, gave a high five, see you next Sunday if I don't have something better to do, or, you know, on and on. We'll see you on the other side. He created a community of environment of people come together. It was a family. He was a worshiper, and he was an evangelist. He was generous, and he was generational. One of my favorite things in the whole Bible is when he took the children, he said, hey, suffer not the children to come unto me. They're just as important. He was generational. The problem with becoming a Christian without knowing who we are is what we hear. We are just what we hear. We go through this formula, and we have this form of godliness, but without power to change the world. Now, I'm going to say this today, and I don't want to offend you, and I guess if I do, I guess that means you're religious. But if you call yourself a Christian and you're powerless, you have a form of godliness, but you deny the supernatural realm that you're supposed to live in. You've missed all of the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross. Because he didn't just die on the cross so you could escape hell. Although that's good. Can I get an amen? Nobody wants to go to hell. He didn't just die on the cross so you could barely make it to heaven. He died on the cross so that you could live in a supernatural realm. What was broken off because of one man's sin, Jesus Christ came and he restored so that we could live in this place of authority and power. So you don't have to run to the priest anymore to get your sins atoned, but you can stay, you can stand before the Father yourself. But not only can you stand to get your sins atoned, but you can stand before the Father, hear what the Father say and do, and change the world around you. Yes. Just as Jesus did. Yes. Worship team, you can come. I'm out of time. A powerless church produces powerless people. That's But a kingdom church produces world changers. 2017's been a good year. Everything's not been perfect. We've had some ups and downs. We've seen good. We've seen a few things bad. But most of all, it's been a great year. As we move forward into 2018, I'm declaring over this house that we're going to have a culture that looks like a kingdom culture. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. We're going to do things not because it seems like a good idea to do them, but because it's what Jesus did. We're not going to serve the poor so they'll come to church. We're going to serve the poor because they're in need. And we love them. And we care about them. But most of all, we want to bring them the kingdom of heaven. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to open blinded eyes. We're going to see the deaf hear. We're going to see the blind see. And we're going to see demons cast out. Simply because we want to bring people into the kingdom where they can live in a kingdom authority. We're going to be attractive. We're going to be a presence-driven church. If we don't do anything else, we're going to provide an atmosphere where the presence of God is so thick that you can't resist it. And I love what Peyton said in his message on worship. Worship is more than just the guitar and the piano and the songs that we sing, but it's the life we live. So when I'm talking about worship today, I'm talking about just as much about what you do outside the house as what you do in the house. We become a place of worship. We walk into the restaurant and there's worship just flowing off of us. We walk in on the job. And while others who don't know the Lord, they don't have this experience, they see you living above, it's because you're a worshiper. It's because you're walking in heavenly places. It's because you're living in a heavenly realm. You know what they say? I want some of that. And we have a bucket full we can just pour out on them. We can give them because we're evangelists. We're evangelizing the world. You know, I grew up thinking about evangelists. And some of the evangelists I met, I didn't want to be like them. They were mean. I remember when I was partying and on the street sometime, there would be the guy on the street corner saying, "Turn your life or you're going to burn in hell." But when the drunk would fall down in front of him, he would just scream hell and damnation over his life and not pick him up. You see, the Apostle Paul helped us with that. He said, except for the grace of God, except for the goodness of God, except for the supernatural realm that I live in, I would be just like them. And he named off this huge list of people. And I love the religious people because we have these big sins and we have little sins. Big sins are bad and little sins are, well, you know, everybody has a little sin. And so we have all of these categories of our earthly kingdom that determine our heavenly approach. And when the truth is, sin is sin. And when we live in a supernatural realm, we don't look at the sinner as a dog. Because Jesus said, if anyone is without sin, you're more than welcome to cast the first stone. Jesus' evangelism style was birthed out of love and compassion for the broken. And we're going to be a church that loves the broken. And when people label us as that church that's all lovey-dovey and full of grace, we're going to say thanks for the compliment. But while we're thanking God for the compliment, we're not tolerating things that we have authority over because we're world changers. Am I making any sense to you today? It's acceptance of people, but it's not acceptance of the things of the world. And so while we love them in, we cast the world out. And we bring them into this heavenly realm that we get to walk in. Isn't that beautiful? When you see evangelism that way, it makes it a whole lot easier, right? Than knocking on the door and say, hey, listen, if you want to be saved, come to my church. I got news for you. There's a lot of people that come to this church. And not everybody's saved. So walking in them doors didn't save you. You got to know the Savior. Listen, we can't build a church big enough. By the way, our plans are at the fire marshal right now. We're going to expand and build. But we can't build a church big enough if we live in a kingdom realm. If we live with a kingdom authority, we can't get enough storehouses because the multitudes will follow us like they followed Jesus. Yes. And that's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me because I'm the best preacher in town. I'm the greatest evangelist because I have billboards and TV shows and I have radio broadcasts and I'm on the internet and I do this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because why? I'm taking you from earthly realm to heavenly realm. That's so good. So we have a culture that just brings people into heaven's realm. Our slogan for our church is this: serving God, serving people. Serving God, serving people. I don't know anything more kingdom than that. We serve Him and we serve others. He said all the law hangs on these two words: love the Lord God with all your might and love your neighbor as yourself. And He said all the law hangs on that, because if you get that, you're going to sin very little if you love God with all your heart and you love people. Amen. We're going to be generational. This next year is going to be one of the most amazing things. I don't know how this is going to look. I really don't know how it's going to look. I'm so excited. You know why I'm excited? Because I know God spoke to me. I don't know how this is going to look, but the way we've done church before is going to be different, because you know in the past we've raised people up and brought them through kids church, and then they went through the youth department, and then they went through this, and then, but listen, these kids know what they're called to do. You can walk over there right now and start asking them kids, who are you? What are you called to do? They know better than some of us adults, because they hear so clearly from God. Our little hearts are so pure. And they believe what God says about them. And so we're going to capture that in 2017. And before they go out there in the world and the world starts telling them who they are and what they are to be, and you ought to get this job and that career, and you ought to be this and marry that person and do this, we're going to put them into the kingdom of God where their gifts begin to operate. So when you come up for prayer, and there may be a 13-year-old standing there with Michelle or one of the prayer team, and they're going to be interning and praying for you. Because we believe the next generation is the most powerful generation ever put on the earth. Why? Because I preached it last Sunday. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and we're going to equip them for the revival that God has already promised. Are y'all excited? Are y'all excited about the kingdom of God? This is our vision. This is our heart. This is where we're moving forward to. And I want you to pray into this. And listen, we put this message online. I know there was a lot. I said a lot today. But I want you to go back and listen to this. Not because it's me preaching, but I want you to go back and listen to this. And I want you to start identifying in your life. Identifying, okay, here's what I'm supposed to live. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is what I was created for. This is my purpose here on earth. So good. Let's stand.